Fifth Place City Councilman Kyle McAllister is running for a third term on Abilene City Council. In his second term, McAllister has weathered community criticism and calls for him to step down from his seat. His critics, led by the League of United Latin American Citizens, or LULAC, provided local media with a collection of nearly a decade of Facebook posts they say cross the line into racism. The outcry led to a number of organizations, including KACU, to sever ties with McAllister. McAllister issued a public apology and proposed his own censure at a city council meeting, but declined to step down. He joins me now in the studio. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So you were the first person to file to run for this May election. Why was it important to be there on the first day that the applications were open?
It was important to me to show my supporters that I'm serious about this. This is a very serious position. The city of Abilene is the 28th largest city in the state of Texas, and it is a serious job, and I wanted them to know that I am going to continue to fight for them.
I've seen comments from your supporters, people who have said you've got freedom of speech, you should have gotten another chance, others who feel like the year's worth of posts were enough to warrant asking you to step out of this public life. Mayor Williams has said this is a learning opportunity for Abilene. And I think our local voters would like to know if you've learned anything or if you've had time to reflect and revisit some of the posts and reconsider some of the things that you thought might have been jokes.
Well, let me back up to what you said. This is not a freedom of speech issue, because I had a freedom of speech. Okay, so when people say, hey, you have freedom of speech, and so I did have freedom of speech. Anywhere, any person, freedom of speech does not mean freedom of consequence. Okay. Yes, I have learned a lot. When these posts were brought to my attention, well, let me back up again. I keep backing up. Sorry about that. I do apologize. It was never my intention, to be offensive, to be degrading, to make anyone feel less or threatened or offended in any way. Not my intention at all. When the posts were brought to my attention, I addressed them. I took them down. I have apologized to many people, several people that I have sat down face to face. We've talked. Several of us, we've cried because we've just had a good discussion. I've looked at them. I know I have learned. I have learned a very hard lesson, and it has been hard. I mean, it has been very, very hard. But moving forward. Someone asked me, hey, do we move forward from here? And my response to that is, that's not my call. I don't get to tell anyone, hey, we got to move on, okay? That is an individual decision. If people feel like that they can move on with me, fantastic. If they don't, that too is their choice. But when all is said and done, I do have full faith and confidence in Abilene voters that they will continue to allow me to serve them on the role of city council.
So do you have a message to the voters in the minority communities in Abilene who felt disrespected by these posts and who may question whether you're representing their interest at the same level as you're representing the interest of voters who are in the majority?
Okay. My response would be, first off, again, I apologize. Those posts were not meant in the way that they were taken, and that's what I'll say about that. That was not the way they were meant. They were never meant to be offensive. They were never meant to be degrading. Several voters I have visited with, and when people have commented to me on my Facebook page, every single one of them I've said, hey, let's sit down and talk. Now, some of them have taken that opportunity. I've had, like I said, several meetings with folks, several folks that I know I've reached out to. We've met, and we've had discussions. What I would ask voters to do, though, is – they say talk is cheap, okay, I hate cliches, but take a look at my actions. I would ask anyone to look back on my 6 years of being on the city council, and they will see that I have been very representative of everyone in this city. Anyone that has had a question has come to me. I do my best to answer them, And sometimes I do have to feed them up the chain because I don't know, or someone else can handle that. But I've never disregarded a question. I've never dodged a question. I've never ignored someone. I've never voted in a way that is overtly racist in any way. We are all Abilinians, and we all worked to better our city. And so I would hope that any voters that have questions would, A, reach out to me to sit down and visit. I think that we can talk about this. Talking things through and getting a better understanding is a great way to do it. But I would also just ask for them to look at my voting history, look at the things that I voted for, look at the things that I voted against. And I think they will find that overall, my concern as a city councilman is to represent what's best for our community, not this group or this person or that person, but to represent the entirety of Abilene.
So, as I mentioned, you've had 2 3-year terms.
Yes, ma'am.
What has been the most significant work the city council has undertaken during your time?
Well, every year we have different challenges. I think that right now, obviously the street maintenance fee that we're going to talk about, but overall, because we've had, you know, it is kind of interesting. I still think in my 6 years, the biggest crowd we ever had was over roosters when we had the hearing about roosters and farm animals. So it's always interesting, you know, what I think is important and what I think will bring out the crowds is not always what brings out the crowds. But we've done, I think, a very good job as a council, as a team of seven to make sure that we continue to have good jobs for folks. Now, we as a city don't create jobs. Okay, that's the private sector. We as a city make sure that taxes are kept low, that infrastructure is in place. That there are incentives in place. Robert Hanna, who in my opinion is just fantastic. I mean, he is a fantastic city manager, has brought to the table and allowed us to use so many different tools, tax increment reinvestment zones, certain agreements that allow for some tax incentives and tax sales tax refunds that allow businesses to be able to start up without having as much expense up front. And so I think the jobs, bringing in good jobs, keeping good jobs, that's important. You know, bringing in good jobs is important, but we want to keep the jobs that we have. The streets we've talked about, making sure that we have good, solid services, fire, police, water, refuse, solid waste, water supply. As far as specific things, the things that kind of stick out in my mind as far as some of the higher profile, I guess, you know, we tackled kind of the vaping issue. That was one of the first things that I remember taking on back in 2013. You know, we have really set into place water concerns. Now, we've been very fortunate the past 2 or 3 years to have had a lot of rain, but the next drought is not if, it's just when. Mm-hmm. And so I think we've done a really good job of preparing for that. And like I said, I think the economy, making sure that we have a stable economy, good jobs, and making it attractive for businesses to want to come here.
Mayor Anthony Williams said in his State of the City address that the City Council needs to be revisiting the street maintenance fee, possibly making some adjustments this year. You're the only person on the ballot who was there for the whole kind of background and debate and work through this process the first time around. What changes do you think Abilene needs to make?
Well, one of the things that we have seen is that we have businesses coming to us, and I'll give you this example of the of churches. So, for example, a church building that is a one function building, I guess is that's the easiest way to say it. You know, that's all they do there, and they might have 3 or 4 water meters. Over time, they've changed things like that. Well, it was never really addressed that you have one building with one function but several water meters. Well, they were getting 3 or 4 charges, for lack of a better word. And so, just this past Thursday at our meeting, we voted to change that. And so, yeah, what we're revisiting are scenarios and situations that we didn't know about or hadn't really thought through. Because as you know, with any implementation of a new plan, there's always going to be things that you never even thought about. One of the great things about this city and about our management, and I'm talking city council and city staff, is we are very open to let's make sure it works. And so we are having some issues that we never thought about. And so the changes we're going to be looking at are changes that people bring to us, whether it's a church or a business that was misclassified as far as what they call their trip factor. And so it is and I hate the phrase, it's a living document, because that gets thrown around a lot. Mm-hmm. But it is a living document, and we are going to make changes. And that's one of the great things. We have the Street Maintenance Fee Advisory Council. People that can come to us and say, hey, had you thought about this? Had you thought about that? And we're just going to continue to adjust that to make sure that we are, as the mayor has said, it's not perfect, but it's the best we've got right mm-hmm. now. Now, over time, it will get closer to perfect. But, you know, we're just having to work it because we've never been down, pardon the pun, we've never been down this road before.
So with the street maintenance fee, Abilene is investing heavily in repairing the city streets. What other maintenance do you think has been neglected that needs to be addressed next?
Wow. We've got the Abilene Convention Center, which is in desperate need of work. We have, I would say that's probably the biggest facility that people see on a daily basis. Pretty much everything else is street. One of the things that we will be bringing up soon is our water meter reading system. We are looking at implementing, and again, I can't remember. It's electronic, mm-hmm. and there's another term in there that I can't remember what it is. I believe it's AMI or ADI, but that will be something that I think has been lacking, because we have some old school water meters. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, the water goes through, it turns a dial and it turns a wheel, it turns a meter, and then all of a sudden, you know, you see how much you've used. Well, over time, that becomes less and less
accurate.
And less accurate.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. So you get a digital meter that is more accurate, and those are going to be in place. So I think that we have fallen behind, and we're catching up as far as that. That's been neglected. But as far as physical, you know, what you can put your hands on, I think the convention center is the biggest thing that we've lost, just kind of let fall behind. I don't know if you would call it maintenance, but the self-insurance fund has suffered a hit, and so we need to catch up on that as well. Self-insurance, not just medical insurance, but, you know, we self-insure cars, fire trucks, buildings, roofs, and we're still kind of trying to catch up from the big hailstorm we had a couple of years ago. But when you have 1,200 employees, you know, if you have a good year where there's not a lot of claims, that's good. But if you have a bad year, then, you know, everyone, you know, the rates go up for everybody, and we've just got to adjust that.
So speaking of the convention center,
yes, ma'am,
in downtown, you know, Abilene is working to reduce vacancies downtown, invigorate the business climate. What steps do you think City Council could take to support these types of goals? What do you think Abilene should do regarding the downtown hotel?
Well, I'll do the second one first, then I'll go back to the first one. The downtown hotel will be a fantastic addition. You know, we had Business Expo last week, and I was standing there in the lobby, looking out Cypress, and thinking, hey, you know, someday maybe there's going to be a hotel here. And you know, and it's not 100% done deal. There's a lot of pieces that still have to fall into place. But I'm in favor of that, because that's going to be something unique. That is going to be a magnet to draw people and conventions and visitors to our downtown area and to Abilene in general, because it will be, at this point, it will be something that we don't already have. I mean, we do not have a full-service hotel in Abilene, okay? And so that's the uniqueness of it. And so I'm excited about that. What that does for the whole downtown area is that it acts as a conduit to bring people in. And so, you know, you have the downtown hotel project. Well, right now you have Paramore Square, which is a housing project just off of downtown. You have the new project going in on Pine Street, 202 Pine Street, which is the Grain Theory, the old stenographer building. So you're going to see a huge change downtown in that corner. People that have lived here a long time, I know that building's been vacant for quite a while. You've got the old Matera building renovation. I just drove by there, and they're already starting to do some work out there. You've got that. You've got the sale of the old cotton warehouse, which is a dilapidated building. Excuse me, that great plans are going to be in for there. You've got recently the sale of the old fire station, the old number one fire station. But again, so we as a city council have made a decision that we as a city don't want to own a lot of property. You know, we need to keep what we need to keep, but we don't need we don't need to have an excess of property. And so we're doing a job, we're doing a task of making sure that we can sell what we have. So how does that how do we work that? As I mentioned, Robert Hanna is very good about some, and there's different agreements, and they have all sorts of different numbers. But there's what's called a tax increment reinvestment zone, or a TERS. And the TERS zone, and we have a lot of these developments going on in different TERS zones in the area. And what a TERS zone is you have a zone, and the baseline property taxes for that zone will always go into the general fund. Okay, so the city taxpayers aren't losing money, but anything above that. So if a building is valued at $100 and they pay $20 in taxes, well, now it's valued at $150 and now they pay $40 in taxes. Well, that extra money will now specifically go back into the TERS zone for development there. So that's an incentive for businesses to come in and say, hey, if I invest here, anything that bumps up, it comes back into my area. And so that is a way that we can get people excited about infill, filling in, as you know, the inside of the donut. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of growth on the outside, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm excited about businesses coming all over Abilene. That's a great thing. But if we can kind of fill that inside, and so with the TERS zone, with different investment opportunities where businesses can apply for help with sidewalks, help with street front, help with facades. There's a facade program that allows businesses to get money from the TERS and other areas to help with the facade to make the buildings look nicer. And then certain agreements that allow a business to request a certain percentage of their tax dollars that would come back to the city to be reinvested back into the company up to a certain amount and only for a certain amount mm-hmm. of time. So it's not in perpetuity, right. But it allows a business that is needing a little extra money on the front end to get their business off the ground. And so that's what you're seeing with 202 Pine Street and the old Matera Paper Building and hopefully the Cotton Warehouse and a lot of great development in the south downtown Abilene and then in the actual downtown area.
Okay, so as we wrap up, okay. I wanted to give you an opportunity to tell listeners why they should reelect you to the fifth place on Abilene City Council.
Well, you know, I've had the privilege of living in Abilene for close to 30 years now. I mean, off and on, about 20 years this go around, but I've had that privilege. It has been an honor to serve on the city council. You know, Abilene is my town. It's my hometown. My kids were born here. Well, one of them was born in North Carolina, but we got here as soon as we could. I got her as soon as we could. But this is my town, and I love this city. This city has a great potential, and I want to continue to serve the citizens of Abilene. It is great to see people excited about the city of Abilene. I have all the confidence and faith in the Abilene voters that they feel comfortable in what I do, and I enjoy visiting with them. I enjoy hearing their visions, their dreams about what Abilene can be and what will be. You know, I look back on, you know, however many decades ago there were visionary city leaders who said, hey, we need a zoo or we need a convention center, and look what that has become. And I'm excited about being a part of something that we can look, you know, years from now people can look back and say, hey, look what the city council did. They got us a downtown hotel. They helped revitalize the downtown area. They helped with ensuring our water supply. And so I have been very honored to serve and hope that I will be given the opportunity to serve again.
Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thank you.
Kyle McAllister serves as the fifth place city councilman for Abilene. He's running for re-election, facing challenges from attorney Corey Clements and from Cynthia Alvidrez. I'm Heather Claiborne. This is KACU.